impact investing is the best way of putting the two together, because you need money to make things happen. You need to make money to get money to make things happen. And I would advise every young person, which hopefully has ideals to keep the planet in a habitable state for us for the next millennia, to try not to work against the capital, but try to leverage and use the capital with impact investments to bring resources to make the world a better place and still make money. You know, you can make most productive processes more efficient, saving money and thus polluting less. So these are the low-hanging fruits, and there are many of them around the world.
Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and video show which brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. If you're new to the channel, please subscribe and hit the bell icon. I'm your host, Fritz Bussemaker, and today I'm delighted and privileged to have a conversation with Mauricio Tota. Mauricio, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Fritz.
Yes.
Very happy to be here.
Now, Mauricio, he was the CEO of the family real estate business from 1995 until 2008, when it was sold. And since 2010, he's been focusing his activities on impact investments in biotech, renewable energy, sustainable forestry, and land development, both in Europe and South America. He also owns an estate in Portugal, on which one of the largest European solar farms is being built. And he speaks Italian, German, French, English, and Spanish, and is currently perfecting his Portuguese. And finally, he's also a commercial has a commercial helicopter license. So, Mauricio, again, thank you for being on the show. Now,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, the theme of our discussion is going to be about impact investing. Could you please explain for the audience what is impact investing?
Well, in a short phrase, is doing good while doing well financially.
Yeah, I got that. And what specific area of the world are you now involved in where you do your impact investment?
Well, like you explained, I was responsible. I was the CEO of Europe's largest shopping mall for quite some time. And so I learned how to conceive, develop, and manage large and scalable projects. So when the whole shopping center was sold in 2008, I was out of a job and I was far too young to retire. And I felt very lucky because that shopping center was sold for a very nice amount of money. And I wanted to give back, but I wanted to give back in an intelligent way. So philanthropy was not really for me, because in philanthropy, you just give the money away. You don't have any control for it. You can't decide what's happening. But I found impact investing. And with impact investing, I realized that I was doing it since 1977.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah. Yes, but back then the term impact investing had not yet been invented. But impact investing means you're trying to make money. You're not compromising on the returns if you're a return first impact investor, but you have some other goals just to make money. You want to do something good for the planet, for the people. So it's just having more bottom lines than just the financial one.
Okay, got it. And those other goals, can they differ per investment you make, or are they always the same?
I'm quite flexible. Like you introduced me, I've had some investments in biotech research. Mm-hmm. So there the goal is to develop new drugs in order to help people, new cures. So this has a really a very focused approach just to keep people healthy, which I think is a good thing.
Yes.
With forestry, you can do different kinds of forestry. And one of the things that I'm really passionate about lately has been this kind of forestry that we developed in Brazil, where we protect the existing Amazon forest by using it in a sustainable way.
Okay. What
you see in my background is, for instance, the photovoltaic power plant on my land in Portugal. Well, there the goal is really to avoid CO2 emissions. So you have different targets. What you can see is that the target for financial return is always the same. Just get very nice, safe, double-digit returns as on an IRR basis.
Okay.
But the ways how to do this impact investing and what other what other positive effect you can achieve through those investments, they vary from investment to investment.
Okay, got it. Now I'm curious about also the Brazilian rainforest. I read on what you've done there to save the rainforest, and actually it seems like you take quite a holistic approach in the sense that when you invest, it actually has a number of effects on that. Could you explain what those are?
Well, yes. Thank you for the question, Fritz. You see the photovoltaic power plant in the back. There, the main effect, apart from getting a return, is to protect the climate. You don't do much for the environment. You don't do much for the people because you don't create many jobs, but you do something for the environment, which is already good. And what I found and made me very passionate about our activities now in Brazil is that first, it's incredibly cheap to buy existing forest. What most people don't realize is that about half of the Amazon, and the whole Amazon is about as big as the European Union when UK was still part of it, so 4.2 million square kilometers, half of it is private land. And on private land, it's still possible to legally destroy and burn the forest, at least part of it. Then illegally, usually a larger part is destroyed. What we say, and we have the approach that you have to work with the people, not against the people. You cannot go to Brazil and say, oh, you should not cut your forests. Well, because the Brazilian then in a very straightforward way tell you, go and plant the trees in your own countries, in France, in Germany, in the US, where you already cut them down centuries ago. No, you can only go to Brazil and tell them, we know that you need jobs. We know that you need income. And unfortunately, in the past, the equation was we have to destroy the forest to clear the forest to make space for other activities like cattle ranching, agriculture, and whatever. And we say, well, what if we can show there is a way to protect the forest, using it in a sustainable way, creating jobs, creating income, and thus preserving the forest, avoiding create bad effects on the climate by burning down the forest and emitting huge amounts of CO2, and giving sustainable and dignified jobs to the local population. And these are sustainable jobs because, this is not something that will come to an end, because as long as you have the sun shining and the rain falling, the trees will grow. So this is a renewable resource. And if used in a sustainable way, it will go on forever.
Okay, so it's about the local environment. It's the climate, which you're protecting, and jobs.
Yeah, we call it the quadruple bottom line because we protect the biodiversity and the forest locally. By avoiding that the forest is burned down, we protect the climate globally by avoiding CO2 emissions or even afterwards, the methane emissions from the cows that would be grazing on those cleared lands. We do something, the third bottom line is the social impact by giving sustainable jobs and good income to the local population. And the fourth bottom line, well, the investor should have something for his efforts. And I think there is nothing wrong in making money while providing so many good effects with your investment.
Got that. No, okay, so I understand the 4 points. I do wonder, so you avoid the land being used for cattle farming, but somehow there's still a need for that cattle farming. So isn't that then replaced to another part of the planet?
Well, I wish I could show you some time-lapse satellite images. And the problem is that as it's done right now in the Amazon, you have to realize the Amazon is a very delicate biome. Mm-hmm. So you have those huge trees, and those huge trees evaporate a huge amount of humidity. But the land itself is fantastic for the trees, but the humus is just 30, 40 centimeters deep. So what happens when you clear the land because you want to do cattle farming? Well, you cut the trees, you burn them, so the ash has lots of fertilizer, and the grass will grow quite well for a few seasons, 4, 5, perhaps 10 years. But then the whole soil is so depleted that you hardly can have any cows grazing on that. And so what do? Well, you cut the next part of the forest and you burn it down. Mm-hmm. And you see, I've been quite often to the Amazon, and when you drive, you can see forests for hours and hours and hours. So you can be perhaps forgiven if you have a narrow view that, oh, it's so big, we can do whatever we want. Mm-hmm. But once you see it on a global scale, you actually realize that having lost 800,000 square kilometers, that's already 20% of what's left. So, and this happened just in the last 40 years. So, of course, it took hundreds of thousands of years to create that forest. And in the blink of an eye, in geological times, we have destroyed 20% of it. So we really have to look at the big picture and say, okay, we can, there is the question whether we should eat meat twice a day, every day of the week, or if it's perhaps even healthier if we eat a little less meat, okay? But there is also the way of raising cattle in a most sustainable way, and not just clearing the forest to raise cattle in a quite inefficient way. So there are different ways. So I'm not a climate Taliban by saying, no, we must forbid everything and so on. I'm just saying, well, guys, if development, if jobs, if income in the Amazon is the issue that makes people clear and destroy the forest, which has an immense value, which is not financial, of all that biodiversity, of all the plant species, of all the animals and so on, if we can preserve this and still give the people an income, it's a much better solution than just going on as in the last 40 years, just destroying the forest and raising a few cows.
Got it. So it's indeed, it's an initiative to protect the forest. It's not an initiative against cattle farming.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. You see, actually, we're competing, and the cattle farmers are driving up the prices. So it's more difficult for us to protect that land because we're actually buying it. There are also initiatives, and I participated at the Amazon Investors Conference a few weeks ago, and many people were saying, well, if there are ways how to raise the efficiency of cows per hectare so that the cattle farmer wouldn't need additional land to raise more cattle. And you see, I'm not for ideological solutions. Okay, I'm very much a pragmatist. And I believe with intelligent solutions, we can find a way how to preserve as much as possible while getting an adequate return on a financial basis and still getting the standard of living that we want. Yeah. So I'm not suggesting that we go back living in caves and eating grass. No, I suggest we still have our standard of living, but we do it in a more intelligent way instead of just going into a biotope and destroying everything and destroying much more value additional to the little financial return that we can get out of it.
Mauricio, it makes sense to me, I can tell you. So glad for you to share that. Now, in this whole journey you've taken along impact investment, what has been the biggest learning and maybe even the biggest failures over that period?
Well, let's start with the failures. I did some impact investing in pharmaceutical research only to lose a few million because I found out, unfortunately, too late that the CEO, which was also the CFO of the company, was actually falsifying the research results just to get more money from the investors. So if you're doing something to help people, you're not really on the lookout, oh, is this a crook that is going just to take my money and run? But unfortunately, that has been the case. So that for the bad experience. So I decided I will focus my investments where I have a certain competence. And this is why, even if I still have some investments in biotech, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a researcher. I'm an engineer by training, and I've done forestry since 1977. And I've done large and scalable projects. So I'm trying to apply my know-how to my projects. And this is why the estate in Portugal that you see in the background, this is one thing that I very much like. And this very large solar farm, which has a power of 219 megawatts installed. So you can see on the horizon, one hill after the other is just one field of panels after the other. So it's really big. So it's about 5.8 kilometers from one end to the other. And this is just covering 20% of the surface of my land. So I still am looking for new ideas, what to do and how to do it best. And the best results is probably when I did some calculations on the Brazilian project. Mm-hmm. And, I'm so passionate about this solar farm. I thought that's a great impact investment. And I found out, yes, indeed, for every $1 million that has been invested in this solar farm, about 18,000 tons of CO2 will not be emitted over a period of 30 years. And then I did myself the whole calculation on our venture in Brazil. And thanks to a few elements, because the land is so cheap, because the trees grow so fast, you can have a much, much bigger impact. So the financial returns are comparable for me, both here and in Brazil. But for instance, the CO2 emissions avoided for every $1 million invested are 18,000 tons here and about 3.6 million tons in the project in Brazil. So I'm approaching return first impact investing in this way. First, I look at the returns, the financial returns. And then I'm doing the calculation, how can I maximize my other returns? In the case of Portugal, it was mainly climate. Mm-hmm. In the case of Brazil, it was not only climate, but biodiversity, social impact. And so, of course, with the same financial returns, my preference is let's concentrate on developing Brazil even more.
So is then the biggest learning basically just the awareness of what you can accomplish by making the right investment?
Well, you see, there is lots of ESG and talk now in the investment community. But I found, unfortunately, that there is still quite a fair amount.
Yeah. Could you explain what ESG is?
ESG, environmental, social, and governance-based investment. And of course, I'm convinced that within the next 10 years, there won't be many investments which don't satisfy at least a minimum amount of these ESG criteria, because it won't just be something. You know, back in the good old days, it was appropriate to invest in tobacco or in arms companies. Nowadays, not many people are comfortable in doing this. And in the future, not many people will be comfortable in doing investment which are not ESG compliant.
Is that wishful thinking, or do you really see that happening at the moment? Is there proof that that's going to happen?
Well, let's see. The answer is not always black and white. There is a strong tendency coming from the public, because the public, the single persons, the pensioners that want to know how their pension money, how their insurance money is being invested, they say, hey, I want you to do the right thing. And the guys that are in charge of these investments say, okay, now we have to find ESG investments. But many times is just ticking the boxes, and there is a fair amount of greenwashing. So the investment is labeled ESG, but actually just the same investment as before. It's just getting a nicer label. What I'm doing, I'm mainly doing personal investments, so direct investments, so I can really do my own due diligence. So I know what the effect is that is being done by generated by this investment. And I'm not saying that you could do fantastic things also with the correct investment in funds, but as long as I still have this know-how and the ability of traveling the world and seeing things for myself, I think I have a duty to use these abilities to be kind of a kickstarter for these projects that can do lots of good.
Great. So in this respect, what does success mean for you?
When I was younger, success meant being quite successful and making a fair amount of money. Once I had that money, and that luckily happened some years ago, then success is being successful on the different bottom lines, not just on the financial bottom line. So success is doing something for many people, having many people that can say, oh, thanks to this investment, thanks to this entrepreneur, my life has become better, or the air has become better, or the environment has been preserved. So these are different success stories, and every single one is meaningful to me.
Great answer. Thank you so much. One final question, as we're almost at the end of our time, Mauricio. What would your advice be to the young managers and people out there, the next generation, when they're starting out on their journey?
I see myself as a kind of interpreter. You know, I speak quite a few languages, so I could deal with many different cultures. And I think the biggest amount of translating or interpreting that has to be done nowadays, it is between the old guard, the people of our age or even older, which were or still are very focused on success defined in a financial way, in making money, in getting things done, no matter what. And the young generation, which sometimes are a bit, you know, I don't know if you say that in English, but blue-eyed, you know, so naive and say, oh, yes, we want to make the world a bigger, a better place, but no, 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 we don't want to make money. Well, actually, impact investing is the best way of putting the two together, because you need money to make things happen. You need to make money to get money to make things happen. And I would advise every young person, which hopefully has ideals to keep the planet in a habitable state for us for the next millennia, to try not to work against the capital, but try to leverage and use the capital with impact investments to bring resources to make the world a better place and still make money. You know, you can make most productive processes more efficient, saving money and thus polluting less. So these are the low-hanging fruits, and there are many of them around the world. And you just need to do things in a more intelligent way, perhaps even making more money in the process. And the environment is still, it will be left in a better state. You have to, the tragedy of the commons is the biggest mistake we need to avoid. That just because the air is there, we can pollute it, or just because the ocean is big, we can throw anything in it. So we should have a conscience, and the young people, thank goodness, have this conscience, but they should also have the conscience that money is not evil in itself. Money is just a tool, and you can use it to make the world a better place if you apply your intelligence in the best possible way.
So great advice, great, you could say, awareness. So reset your thinking about what money actually is. It also seems for me like you want to make impact investment to go mainstream, so that this is going to be investment by default.
Oh, yes. You know, this solar power plant will not make a deep water horizon disaster worth 15 or 20 billion. Okay. And BP was considered a safe blue chip. Yes. So many times investing in those resources, the renewable resources, you know, the good investment is also very good advice for your briefcase, because you're not getting into those risks that many of those other investments have. And so it's really important. You know, I don't see it as a contrast between making money and doing good. I had many discussions with some fellow entrepreneurs who said, hey, Maurizio, you can either be a businessman or a philanthropist. You cannot do it. You cannot have your cake and eat it. I say, no, on the contrary, you can have your cake and eat it. Okay. Look at that power plant. Okay. I'm getting a very nice return, and it's not polluting. On the contrary, it's avoiding pollution.
Maurizio, that's a great message to share with the audience. So I want to thank you so much for making time to speak with The Brand Called You. And thank you for showing us what you've done over the years to help create a better planet. So it's a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for your insights today.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to share this.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.